You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on May 15th, 2025. And this week we're talking about whether schools are parent-free zones. A recent court ruling suggested that this might be the case after allowing a school to hide information from the parents of a girl who changed her gender identity while at school. This is an important story for us to consider, especially for those of us who are parents. So we're going to talk about this in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-1525. Now for our story this week. Parent-free zones. U.S. court rules school had a right to hide child's gender identity from parents. From CBN News. Massachusetts parents of a middle school student are hoping to take their case against their child's school district to the U.S. Supreme Court. That comes after a federal court ruled that they do not have a constitutional right to be informed that their daughter changed her gender identity and name while at school. The court essentially ruled that her school had a right to hide that information from the parents. The first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a lower court's decision to dismiss a lawsuit by parents Stephen Foote and Marissa Silvestri, who challenged the Baird Middle School's policy of concealing a child's gender identity and other information from them. The parents had written the school and told them their daughter was gender confused and under professional care and that no one was to communicate with her about it. However, the child told school officials that she considered herself gender queer and said she did not want her parents to know about it. According to the lawsuit, teachers and other school employees began referring to the 11-year-old girl by a different name and gender identity of the child's choosing at school. Meanwhile, they used the child's given name and gender identity when communicating with the parents. They also asked the young girl if her parents were providing her with appropriate care and if she was comfortable discussing issues with the counselor chosen by her parents. Much of these conversations took place by text, behind closed doors, and in online chat rooms without her parents' consent. The parents filed a federal lawsuit in 2022 against the school alleging that the school violated their due process rights under the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment. A three-judge panel ruled last week that while parents have a fundamental right to be informed about significant aspects of their child's life and direct them, those rights are limited. Now, that was a lengthy reading, but I wanted to go through all of that. Now, if you read the article that is linked in the show notes that was taken from, there's actually a lot more information in there if you want to go through and read that. But now, it would be easy to cite this example as proof that Christian parents should not send their children to public schools, but that's not what I'm trying to do here. Personally, I am a big proponent of homeschooling. We have homeschooled all five of our children. The last three, or the three youngest, are still at home, and we are still homeschooling them. And homeschooling is great because you can tailor the instruction to the particular needs of each child. But also, it helps instill values in them that they will hopefully carry with them throughout their lives. However, many Christian parents send their children to public schools, like this one. And if that's the case for you, there are some lessons to learn from this story. And as the school year is wrapping up, and we have the chance to make decisions on what to do for the new school year that starts in the fall, I thought that now would be a good time for us to talk about this story. So there are a few points for us to consider. Number one, as a parent, you are responsible for your children. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." A father's responsibility is to raise his children to know and follow the Lord. This involves instruction that you are teaching them, but also discipline and correcting them when they get off track, which they inevitably will from time to time. And this same responsibility was given under the law of Moses in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." But this is not just for fathers. Mothers also have a role to play in this. Remember how Timothy was raised. When Paul wrote to him, he said, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." How did Timothy's mother and grandmother pass on their faith to him? Well, later in that same letter, Paul said, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." In other words, they taught him about God's word, and that is what led to his faith. So the scriptures are clear in both the Old and the New Testaments. Parents are responsible for raising their kids. And number two, because of this responsibility, you should not send your children to any parent-free zones. That was the term that was used in this article about these schools. But it's not limited to that. Now, speaking to Christian parents here, because that's probably who's going to be listening to this, any individual or group or institution that believes they overrule your authority as parents in the lives of your children is wrong and should not be trusted. Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's a pretty graphic picture there, but it shows us that the one who causes a child to be lost will be held accountable and will be judged by God. But what if that's our child, and we handed them over to the one who did that because we weren't paying attention to what was going on, or we weren't taking our responsibility seriously? Remember, you are responsible for your children. So do not send them anywhere if you don't know or can't find out what is happening to them there, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. That is your responsibility. And number two, remember what is most important in raising your children. It is great for children to receive a quality education that prepares them to be productive members of society, but that is not the most important thing. Remember what Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What if your child becomes a doctor but abandons the faith? What if your child becomes a lawyer but loses interest in spiritual things? What if your child becomes a successful businessman but is too busy to assemble with the church? To see how important this is, look at the qualifications for elders in the church. Titus 1:6 says, "Namely, if a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believed, not accused of dissipation or rebellion." Now, some people believe that that phrase, "children who believe" or "faithful children," means that they need to be faithful to their father. That's included, but that's not all that he's talking about there. To say that it just means that they're faithful to their father misses the point of what an elder is. The role of the elders in the local church is not to help members to be good citizens and productive members of society, at least not directly. It is to lead them into being or becoming faithful Christians. And his children being faithful Christians proves that he's qualified. That was the most important thing, and he raised them to become this. So if that is the most important thing, then we need to protect our children from any influence that would work against this. In the case of the story that we started with, that was the school. But it could also be other kids, social media, certain family members, and so on. And then number four, some situations require drastic action. The situation described in this story that we read was that type of situation. Because in that case, the school was actively working against the parents. The parents were trying to help their child, trying to get the child counseling that they needed, and the school was actively working against them and trying to hide all of this from the parents. Now, is it necessary for every Christian parent to pull their kids out of public school? Maybe not. But when a school is leading or encouraging a child to follow something so destructive as transgenderism, then it is absolutely necessary to get your child out of that situation. Whether that means putting them in another public school, private school, or you start homeschooling your kids, whatever it takes, you figure out a way to do it. The physical, mental, and spiritual well-being of your child is too important to just say that, well, this is just the way it is, and we just have to deal with it. No, you can do something about it, and you are responsible for your children. Now, in summary, if you are a parent, regardless of whether your kids go to public schools, private schools, or they are homeschooled, you need to recognize that you are responsible for them. If they are being bombarded with godless and sinful influences that are corrupting their minds, you need to put a stop to it. But at the same time, you need to make sure that you are raising them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. However their lives turn out when they grow up, we want them to be faithful Christians so that no matter what else happens, they can be with the Lord for eternity. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode and this discussion to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-1525. And if you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who'd be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And one new thing I just started, I wanted to let you know about, is I just started over on Substack, Plain Bible Teaching for Today. There, I'll be writing about the same type of topics that I cover here on the podcast: current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. The link to that will be in the show notes. You can check that out and sign up for free where you can receive these articles by email. But there will also be an option available there where you can find the scripts for the podcast episodes, which will be more in-depth than the show notes that are on the Plain Bible Teaching website. So if you're interested in that, you can also check that out. But that will be linked in the show notes of this episode, so you can look that over and hopefully subscribe to that, where you get more of these discussions as I write them out there as articles on that platform. And then also, if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.